This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to our First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of each month, we take on a topic related to the environment in Michigan with Lisa Wozniak. Lisa serves as Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and my co-host on First Fridays, and always good to see you once a month, Lisa.
Well, it's always great to be here, David. Our guest today is Sarah Ganim, and Sarah is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who's written for Center Daily Times, The Patriot News, and is a correspondent for CNN. Sarah is also a Hearst Journalism Fellow at the University of Florida right now. Her latest project is producing a documentary entitled No Defense, which shines a spotlight on PFAS contamination, which we know a lot about here in Michigan.
Right on.
And the Department of Defense's lack of response to this growing water crisis. And her documentary will premiere at the State Theater on February 19th in Ann Arbor. Tickets can be found at the Michigan Theater website at www.michtheater.org.
I know a lot of folks looking forward to this. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you guys for having me.
Well, before we dive directly into the documentary, I want to spend a moment looking at how you came to this place and this issue of PFAS contamination. You were born in Detroit, so you clearly have a tie to Michigan. You later became a CNN correspondent and helped cover the Flint water crisis. Did your connections to Michigan play a part in your decision to tackle PFAS contamination and its impacts in Oscoda near the Wurtsmith Air Force Base?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm a Michigander. I'm a Michigan native. A Michigander before anything else, even though I've lived in several states and I consider home in a lot of places. Michigan was my first home, and so, of course, that plays a part in how I feel about this issue and how I wanted to pursue it. I actually could trace this quite specifically back to Flint. I was a CNN correspondent who kind of got sent on a last-minute drop-in, parachute-in reporting trip in Flint, Michigan, and ended up spending more than 3 months on the ground there because it was such a huge and impactful story that needed that national spotlight. And that was several years ago. But as the national media like began to pull away a little bit, it was one of those stories that continues to pull you back in as a reporter, continues to grab your attention. And I would think about it all the time. And we would occasionally be able to do follow-ups. But that, over the years, you know how it goes, it weans. And so when I left CNN, I had a baby last year, and I decided to make my life a little bit more manageable. And I left CNN, and the first major project I had was to revisit drinking water issues in America. And that's how I stumbled upon Oscoda, Michigan. I knew that Michigan was a place I wanted to go back to and explore the continuing problems that it faces. But the PFAS exposure problem, really, to me, that story began in Oscoda. And the more I began to dig and to look at what was happening there, the more to me this became a story about agency capture, about how the U.S. government could be doing a lot more to help people who are victims of contamination from lots of different sources, but they fail to act because they know that one of their entities, the U.S. military, is one of the biggest polluters of this, and it will cost the government a lot of money to clean it up.
You're right. We have big water problems in Michigan, and PFAS is certainly the biggest, if not one of the biggest. We have the lead issue. We have now green ooze. We have toxic algae. And in just in the PFAS world, we have about almost 2 million Michiganders that have some level of PFAS in their water. So you've said you were attracted to this Oscoda story. How did you actually find out about it?
It was on-the-ground reporting. I knew I wanted to come back to Michigan and revisit what was happening post-Flint and how the state was handling it and whether or not they were making some of the same mistakes that they had made in the past. And a couple of different places, you know, were recommended to me to visit. But the idea that the same entity, the government, that is supposed to be regulating and cleaning up this issue was the polluter. That was the draw for me in Oscoda. That, and I'll say one other thing about what really drew me in. Visually, as soon as you get there, you know what the problem is. You go to the lake, which is supposed to be the centerpiece of the town where everyone gathers, what draws people in, this beautiful lake with homes and boats and no one's there. No one's on it. No one's swimming in it. No one's using it. This beautiful lake. And you see why. Because the foam that's washing up on the shores, you inherently as a human being know that's not supposed to be there, that it's wrong. And that visual really drew me in immediately.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm David Fair alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest today is Sarah Ganim, and Sarah is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who's going to unveil her new documentary in our area. It's called No Defense, and it's about the PFAS water crisis in Oscoda, and it opens February 19th at the State Theater in Ann Arbor, and I believe you've touched on it, but the action in regards to PFAS on the government standpoint is indefensible. So is that why the title is No Defense?
There's a couple of different reasons. Yeah, I think the people who are living there who were exposed to PFAS before they knew it was a danger, they really had no defense, right, for their own safety. So there's a connection there. There is no defense for the reasoning behind not cleaning it up, leaving it as is. So there's a couple of different reasons that we went with that title. My executive producer, Lenny Boren, actually gets credit for coming up with that title, but it was after a lot of hours of thinking about, you know, the perfect way of describing what's going on here.
It's a layered issue, and it's a layered title. And Lisa, you've long called on for the actions of the DOD and EPA indefensible, and does a push from the journalistic and film standpoint help when advocacy groups like yours and environmental lobby groups are struggling to win progress at the federal level?
Well, I think Sarah has said something that's very important. Having a film like this allows more people to actually see visually what's happening in a place like Oscoda. And Van Etten Lake is the centerpiece of that community. And so having visual representation, having a film to tell the story, and storytelling in this time is so important for people to really understand what's happening to our residents who have been living without any clue that things like this are happening to their water. And frankly, also to open people's eyes to the fact that our servicemen and women who have been serving their country have been literally poisoned.
Living in it.
They've been living in it, and they've been poisoned by this, and the Department of Defense has been taking no action to clean up the water that they know is poisoned. I will say one more thing. I think it also really helps really dedicated elected officials who've been out there trying to make something happen in Washington, D.C. They realize that this is an issue in Oscoda, but it's also an issue now for the state of Michigan, and that action needs to really happen.
And Sarah, as part of your process, did you meet with representatives of the Department of Defense that is responsible for the contamination emanating out of Fort Smith, or with the EPA about its lack of action on the PFAS issue?
So we reached out and asked to sit down with those officials, but they declined.
I kind of figured that
and
was going to be the answer.
Right. So we have given them an opportunity to provide some written responses, and we'll see if they come back before the deadline.
So, Sarah, what do you think has been for you the most startling or surprising thing that you've discovered while making this film?
I think there are two issues here, right? There's the historical contamination. There is the fact that when these bases like Fort Smith were active, this firefighting foam was being used and it was contaminating the drinking water. And you have this whole population of veterans and civilians who worked on the base or around the base who were impacted back then. And why they have not been reached out to, why help has not come to them. That's one issue for the historical contamination. But then there's the present day and the fact that it is still leaching out into the environment right now as we sit here and talk about it, and nothing's being done to stop that. And so you really have these two pieces. It's what happened in the past that you can't change, but you could, moving forward, do better. And it's the lack of doing better that really was pretty shocking.
Once again, you're listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Lisa Wozniak is here, and we're joined by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Sarah Ganim. Sarah Ganim is going to be screening her new documentary, No Defense, on the PFAS crisis at the State Theater in Ann Arbor on February 19th. You've interviewed many people impacted by PFAS when you visited Oscoda. It's a public health issue, it's a political issue, it's an environmental issue, but this is very much a human interest story as well. What was your takeaway in spending time and meeting with the people of Oscoda?
I think there's a lot of frustration and a lack of information. People who want to know more but don't know where to find the information. And that's because there is no real outreach. There are little signs on the public beach that, quite frankly, are way above my head and very easy to miss. You know, there are some signs on trails about do not eat the deer or do not eat some of this fish, but it doesn't hit you in the face when you really look at the numbers and how toxic the area is. You don't feel that same sense of urgency. And a lot of the people who have been living there know there's something going on, but don't feel like they have access to the educational materials that they deserve. And a lot of people want to get tested themselves. They want to know what they're dealing with and how they can move forward. And that's nearly impossible for people who don't have a lot of disposable income.
Yeah.
To get your blood tested for PFAS requires you to go to a private lab and pay almost $1,000 for one blood test. I mean, think about that. That's cost prohibitive for a lot of people. There's no opportunity for state help, for federal help. Your insurance doesn't pay for it. So a lot of them just have to live in this unknown, this vacuum, wondering if this is something that is going to impact their lives down the line.
You won your Pulitzer Prize in breaking the Jerry Sandusky sex abuse scandal at Penn State University. As you've mentioned, you spent months on the ground covering the Flint water crisis. You've covered important issues like hazing. Did your involvement in those major issues help shape the manner and the way you wanted to cover this issue?
I think, you know, what was going on in Oscoda, what's going on in the state of Michigan, to me, that was a really important story, but not just for the people in the state of Michigan. And I could see immediately that it is much larger. There are 404 sites across our country that have been identified by the military. So those are just the ones that they admit that we know about, right? Where this story could be duplicated over and over again. And so I did think from the get-go that it was very important to broaden this out, to make sure that everyone understood it's not just an issue if you live up north. It's not just an issue if you live in Michigan. This is a nationwide problem, and it will continue to be until someone forces the government or an entity forces the government to take action.
You've done a lot of work both in print media and in television. What was the particular pivot to an independent film for you with this issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. I had a baby. My first baby was born in November of 2018.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And at the time, I was commuting from New York every week to Washington, D.C. to cover the regulatory agencies, cabinet members, and the Trump administration, which was a lot of fun when I didn't have a baby. But mm-hmm. Once I did, I knew I wasn't going to be doing that. So I left my job, and I wanted to really focus on longer-form, meaningful work, which was always where my heart was anyway. The last piece of journalism that I did at CNN was a documentary about rural America and its problem with drinking water infrastructure. And it finally was published the same week that my daughter was born. So I like to say that I gave birth to two babies in one week. And I knew when I was on my leave that was the kind of thing I wanted to continue doing. And so that's where I went down this road of independent filmmaking, and this is where I landed.
Our time together is winding down, but I do want to ask you, the movie is intended to be informative, but I would imagine it's also to serve as a call to action. What do you want the takeaway to be for those who go and view it?
I want people to get a better understanding of how widespread this problem is, and why it has been so many decades without change. I think that that is just not something that is well understood. You think of contamination, you think of dumping, you think of factories, you think of businesses, bad actors who are, you know, in the private industry, and there's a lot of that going on, right? But the reason that a lot of that continues is because the agency, the government that could force the cleanup of it has a conflict of interest. They can't force a factory to clean up something they're not cleaning up themselves. And I think that, you know, I was shocked to learn how much contamination is the fault of the government. And I think people will also be shocked to learn that.
Sarah, I'd like to thank you for your time today, for sharing this story and the information. And we're going to look forward to the local premiere of the film here in the Ann Arbor area.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
That is Sarah Ganim, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, who is screening her new documentary, No Defense, on the PFAS water crisis, February 19th at the State Theater in Ann Arbor. Lisa Wozniak is executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, my co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment, and we'll see you in March, Lisa.
Look forward to it, David.
For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to our webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.